I'm Rob Skinner, and this is the Rob Skinner Podcast. In this episode, I talk about how to become a multiplying disciple, a fruitful Christian. And in today's episode, I talk about trembling at God's word, putting God's word into practice, and making the most of what God tells us. All this and more on the Rob Skinner Podcast. Welcome back to the Rob Skinner Podcast. My goal is to inspire you to live a no-regrets life, make this life count, and multiply disciples, leaders, and churches. I've been talking about how to become a multiplying disciple, how to be a disciple maker, to be a fruitful Christian, like the man who took his one mina and turned it into 10 more, or the guy who took one and made it into 5 more. So today I'm talking about trembling at God's word and putting it into practice immediately. Isaiah 66:2 says, "Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite, and who tremble at my word." The multiplying disciple responds and acts on God's word. He or she goes beyond mere head nodding and during a sermon. That's great. I like to have responses when I'm preaching the word. I like to let people know. I like to know that people are actually out there responding, but it takes more than that. A multiplying disciple takes it and immediately puts God's word to work. God compares the different responses of two different kings, Saul and David, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, "I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Saul was called to wait on Samuel to make an offering. Remember that? Remember that story? He had to wait 7 days and he just couldn't quite wait and he just did it himself. And he's also called to wipe out the Amalekites for waylaying the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. But Saul chose to ignore and modify God's clear command. His lack of responsiveness to God's word disqualified him as king. Look at how God addresses his refusal to obey. Samuel says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 through 24. Now, David, on the other hand, builds an eternal reputation as the man after God's own heart. Why? Well, because unlike Saul, he was willing to do everything God wanted him to do. He put things into practice. David made a ton of mistakes, and he committed some major sins like adultery, conspiracy to murder, abuse of power. However, even when he did those things, he repented and turned back toward God. He never left God or turned away from him like Saul did. It's easy to disconnect our feelings about God from our obedience to God. We say things like, "Well, God knows my heart," as if God gives us credit for good intentions or having the right feelings toward God. It's clear that God does know our heart, but like David and Saul, we reveal the contents of our heart by our humility and responsiveness to God's word. I want God to say about me, "Rob is a man after my own heart. He did everything I wanted him to do." What does that look like in our current generation? How can we be people who put things into practice? Here are some indicators of a person who trembles at God's word. First of all, take notes during sermons, classes, and seminars. Note-taking is a lost art. As a young Christian, those sitting around me in church often had both a paper Bible, a notepad, and a pen. People scribbled furiously as they listened to the sermon. Note-taking is not proof of obedience. Okay, just getting a notepad and putting it on your lap this Sunday is not going to make you an obedient Christian, but it's one way to stay tuned in to the speaker and to allow God's word to penetrate. It's a way. There's something about that connection. When you're listening to something and then you write it down, it just adds an additional dimension of impact. It'll just help it to penetrate a little bit deeper. I'll often write things down and then place a star next to the points that I felt were particularly convicting or challenging. This is my notepad. I've been using this for years. This is my yellow pad. I've got stacks of old notes that I've used, and I've got stacks. I buy these pads in bulk, like 12 at a time. And I use it every time I go and I hear a conference, I go anywhere, I'm just writing notes down. When I'm at my desk, I'll just go, oh, that's a great idea. I'll just write it down. It doesn't get lost. And it just helps me. Now, it's not this particular style. You don't have to do any, you don't need a yellow pad. You don't need anything else. Maybe you want something more flower. It doesn't really matter, but it definitely helps me to not forget when I get moved or convicted, I want to do that. I want to go back to that and really think about it and see how I can put it into practice. What else can you do? Immediately write down three things that you can put into practice. I've gotten into the practice of writing down next steps when I preach on Sunday. I'll have my last slide is next steps, and just give people ideas on what they can do to put things into practice. I learned this from a guy named Nelson Searcy, who's a minister on the East Coast. And in one of his books, he talks about that. I thought, that's a good thing to do. I think it's valuable to know how to apply the lessons that come from the Bible. Action is what matters, not simple accumulation of information. I like to make lists. I got to tell you, that's one thing I like doing. And one thing I will do is start the day by writing down three things, or even five, that I can put into practice from what I read or what I heard. When we listen to a sermon or read our Bible without regular application, we resemble those who listen to the words of the prophet Ezekiel. God was talking to Ezekiel when he said, "My people come to you, as they usually do, and sit before you to hear your words, but they don't put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but do not put them into practice." Ezekiel 22:31-32. Now, I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you're probably a churchgoer. You're going to church at least once a week, probably twice a week. How many times do we hear God's word without any conscious intention of applying it in our lives? That's exactly what God is challenging these people with. They come, they love the style of the preaching of Ezekiel. He's just like, oh man, they just move me, inspire me. So like a love song, just gets my emotions involved, gets me touched. But God says, that's fine, but they have no intention of putting it into practice. We're committing the same sin as those in Ezekiel's day, when we have no intention of writing down or doing something that comes from God's word. What else can we do? Get an accountability partner. Our sinful nature desires that we remain as we are. Even our best intentions can get blunted by our old habits and routines. One of the best ways to break out of a rut is to get accountability, coaching, or discipling. This is one of the hardest decisions to make and yet often the most powerful. I remember listening to a preacher mention that he had accountability software loaded onto his computer to help him to avoid pornography and visual temptation. Now, I was convicted that I had nothing in place to monitor my browsing. I went home that night and downloaded Accountable to You software. This sends a report of my past week's computer activity to my spiritual mentor. Now, the knowledge that someone else will see what I'm looking at is a powerful inhibitor against sinful behavior. I recently hired a physical trainer twice a week to help me to get into shape and stay in shape. I've gradually crept up out of my desired weight to a weight that, more than 200 pounds, which is a lot more than I've ever been before. I remember, you may not believe this, but in high school, I was 6'1". I weighed 132 pounds. I wrestled in high school, 132 pounds, When I met my wife, Pam, I was 169 pounds. So even though I'm a little bit on the taller side, to get over 200 pounds, like, whoa, you're over. You know, I just felt like I gotta beat it. But the problem is, as I get older, it gets tougher to lose weight. So I thought, I gotta get drastic here. I gotta run to win. I'm gonna get a trainer. So what I did was I went and I just decided, I found a trainer by looking around in my gym. And I looked around for the biggest, strongest guy in the gym. Now, I shared my faith with him. I studied the Bible with him and asked him if he would train me. Now, right at the present time, he's not interested, okay? He considers himself atheistic. He's more than willing to study the Bible, but not open at this point. But he not only helps me go beyond my physical limits in training, I also pay him a little extra money for what I call professional nagging. Professional nagging. I log my weight daily on Google Drive, and I share that link with him so he can track how many calories I'm eating every day, how much I'm exercising, and also how I'm doing, what my current weight is. He does a great job of getting on me when I'm tempted to make excuses. Now, I've lost 15 pounds since the beginning of the year, so I'm happy about it. I've never done this before, but it's helping me. Do you have anyone who's holding you accountable to become the person you want to become? Look for accountability in these common areas of difficulty. Confession of sin. Do you have someone you can talk to regularly about your temptations? Personal finances. Okay, we need help. We need guidance. Physical fitness and weight control, just like I shared about. Evangelism. Is there someone that's going to hold you accountable to get out and be active sharing your faith? Service to the community. All of these areas are incredibly difficult to change without first building a scaffolding of accountability. You aren't weak because you need help. You're actually showing amazing self-awareness and strength by acknowledging that true change demands a supportive environment. What else can you do if you want to be a multiplying disciple and be a person who puts into practice God's word? Use forcing mechanisms. Forcing mechanisms. I've played guitar since I was 14. After a couple of years of guitar lessons, I plateaued at essentially the same skill level for about four decades, if you can believe that. I could play a couple of songs partially, and that was about it. There was a little blip when I married Pam. Right before I married her, I wrote a song. I learned how to play it on the guitar. But it wasn't until we ran out of song leaders in our church here in Tucson and musicians that I was forced to get involved, dust off my guitar, and start learning worship songs. Now, I know now far more songs and play better than at any time in the past 40 years. Why? Because Sunday shows up pretty consistently every 7 days. And if I'm not ready, it can be really embarrassing. Playing with other people, learning from them, and working as a team brings the best out of me and you. Playing with other people, learning from them, and working as a team brings the best out of me and you. When you're trying to grow in any area, set up a forcing mechanism that'll keep you on track. Schedule a time once a week with someone else to go sharing. That's a forcing mechanism. You got to go because you set up the appointment. If you're trying to get up earlier, say, hey, listen, let's call each other in the morning. Give me a call, text me, and that can help. Join a financial accountability group. Join a band. Join a club that encourages growth. Schedule a weekly time of accountability. Get a mastermind group going. Schedule time for church every week and don't make exceptions. This is something I've seen over the past 30 or 40 years. People's attendance at church has really gotten shaky. And they don't realize that going to church is a form of accountability. Just by showing up makes a difference. Just by saying, hey, it's set, I'm going to go. Instead, a few people have just decided, oh, I'll go if I feel like it. That's not a productive mentality. That's not something that's going to really help you to run to win and put God's word into practice. What else can we do to be a person who trembles at God's word? Recognize and embrace the process of change and growth. Anytime you put something new into practice in your life, you'll experience a period of awkwardness, discomfort, and even fear. You're doing something you haven't done before. You're going through a beginner's stage. Many people start to make changes, but then they retreat because they feel embarrassed or stupid because they haven't mastered the new skill. Now, this is true in any field, not just spiritual growth. How many people start piano or guitar and then they quit soon after? Why? Well, they didn't see immediate progress, or maybe they got to a certain level and they plateaued and they just didn't see any reason to keep going. They didn't like the beginner phase when they weren't that good. I like Ben Franklin's quote when he says, "Genius is nothing but a greater aptitude for patience." When growing and developing new skills, learning anything new, patience is the master skill. You have to be willing to give yourself time, allow for mistakes, and be okay with being awkward and embarrassed at times. One of my biggest regrets is not learning Japanese as fast or as well as I wanted to. I lived in Japan for 10 years, doing missionary work with my wife and children, and I learned how to speak and to write and to read. However, I could have sped up the learning process so much faster, so much more radically, had I embraced the embarrassment of not speaking well more directly. I wanted to be perfect immediately. My pride wouldn't allow me to make mistakes, so I avoided so many opportunities to speak imperfectly. I learned, but I learned slowly. I didn't have that childlike attitude that says, "Hey, I don't care how I sound, I'm just going to talk." If I could go back in a time machine, and that'd be really awesome if I could get into a time machine, I would set a goal every day to see how many language mistakes I could make that day. I'd say, "I'm going to try to make 50 mistakes." That would ensure that I was in the game learning. Where do we need more patience and acceptance of that novice stage? Preaching. If you want to be a preacher, you got to get up there and make a ton of mistakes. Teaching lessons. Teaching the gospel in personal Bible studies. You only get better by doing it. Small group discussion leadership, like leading a Bible talk or Bible discussion. Sharing your faith and inviting people to church. Meeting new people, learning languages, dating, being a great husband or wife, being a great parent. None of these things happen overnight. You have to go through a predictable stage where you don't feel comfortable, you're not that great, but you just plow through it until you gain mastery. All of these incredibly important skills have a predictable growth process. You can't become a master without going through the novice stage. Embrace it, accept it, and allow each mistake, failure, and setback to communicate to you that you are growing in your mastery. Thanks for listening. Here's how you can help support the program. First of all, hit the subscribe button and let your friends know about this program. Secondly, read and please review one of my books. If you've read any of my books, I'd like to ask you to go to Amazon and give me a review. I've got about 27 on my books, but man, I'd love to have 27,000. That'd be awesome. I've written a couple books, How to Plant and Grow a Church, or Courage, How to Make This Life Count. You can go to my website at robskinner.com and find out more about them. But please, if you've read them, and I know some of you have, please take the time to go to Amazon and write a review. Just go to my website there and hit the reviews, and it'll probably, you know, have a cue for writing a review. Because my goal is to inspire you to make this life count. Live a no-regrets life, and multiply disciples, leaders, and churches.